Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 20th. And as we like to do in December, we're going to be talking to Sonia and to Marta about Cuban food for the holidays and the whole idea of Cuban food at Christmas time. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the ladies right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and we like to do this in December, visit with Sonia Martinez and Marta Verdes Darby to talk about Cuban food, and especially Cuban food at Christmas time. So let's say hello to our two wonderful ladies. Sonia, how are you?
I'm doing fine. We're having a cold spell here in Hawaii with snow on the mountains, so we're looking a lot like Christmas right now.
Well, that's wonderful. Is that normal? I mean, from your time in Hawaii, is it always?
Believe it or not, we do get snow up in the mountains every once in a while, and it doesn't have to be the middle of winter either. It can be July if weather conditions are just right. But from the Aloha State right now, we're having snow for Christmas.
Well, that is a white Christmas in Hawaii, not what Bing Crosby had in mind, but nevertheless, it is fun to hear. Well, Marta, I bet it's not snowing in Southern California.
No, it's not. We had two really cold days because it got down to 52, and then it's back to the 80s today again. So that's Southern California for you.
Yeah, well, to all of our friends listening in the Midwest, don't get angry at Marta because she talked about 52 degrees. All of those people up there freezing to death, maybe.
Anything below 60 here is freezing.
Freezing. That's right.
I can just hear the people in the Midwest and just shutting off the computer and saying, we're not listening. No, that's right. All this abuse, you know, that we're giving them. But anyway, it's good to hear that. As we like to do when we get together, I always like to ask you ladies to tell us a little bit about yourselves. And so, Sonia, you go first. I know you started in Cienfuegos, so why don't you take it from there?
Well, I was born in Cienfuegos, as you say, an American mother, Cuban father, ended up in the American South, which is where my mother was originally from. And from there, little by little, I started moving south more and more and more till I got to Miami, and from Miami I ended up in Hawaii. This last year has been quite the year for me. I'm retiring from writing columns in magazines and newspapers. I just turned in this month my last columns all around, and I'm concentrating on finishing a second cookbook, well, actually my third cookbook, but the second in the last couple of years, and kind of concentrating more on writing than anything else. And I lost a brother just a couple of weeks ago, so Christmas is going to be a little bit on the quiet side for us this year.
Yeah, that is a shame. Our condolences to you and to your family. I remember seeing you posted something about him in Facebook. He was also from Cienfuegos, right?
Right. All four of us siblings, we were all born there.
Right. And for those in the audience who may not know where Cienfuegos is, Cienfuegos is on the southern side of Cuba, on the southern coast of Cuba, and a city very well known for its architecture and its history. And as you mentioned one time, Sonia,
bay.
On the program. Yeah, that's right. And as you mentioned one time on the show, Cienfuegos has a French influence that a lot of Cubans don't know about, Sonia.
Right, right. Yeah.
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 Well, let's.
Before the Castros, a lot of the street names had French names.
Right, exactly. Now, the book that you wrote, I guess that would have been your second book, was From Soup to Nuts.
Correct.
And the new one, what can you tell us about it?
The new one is all about tomatoes. I have gone tomato crazy. And for a while, my son thought that he was going to be turning red because I kept testing recipes constantly on him and at least 3-4 times a week. And I have 2 more now to redo and retest, and then the book will be finished.
Well, I
so
remember as a great. Well, when it does, please let us know so we can have you on. One thing I do remember in Cuba, whenever you gave blood, they gave you tomato juice. I don't know why, but I guess so. But I'll never forget that. You know, that was one of those memories of Cuba that I will always remember. You know, you give blood and you get tomato juice, and you thought, well, you're putting it back in, you know. But anyway, Marta, why don't you fill us in on your year and activities?
Hello. I have been crazy busy this year in the best way possible. My daughter gave birth to my second grandson. His name is Sebastian, and he was born at the end of May, and that sums up my year. My daughter was pregnant, you know, and so getting her ready, we moved her back down here from Sacramento. And then, you know, the baby was born, and they're 5 minutes away from us. And, of course, they're here every single day. And I couldn't be happier. He's just the light of our lives and just the joy of our existence right now is our grandson, Sebastian. So
why do I get the feeling Sebastian is going to be spoiled?
Oh, my goodness. There's no way to spoil that baby, but I bet we could do our best. Anyway,
okay.
So that's you know, so it's family is everything, you know, to me. So
sure. Well, that's great. Congratulations on being a grandmother then for the second time, right? For the second time a grandmother. Congratulations on that. And of course, all of us love your website and the recipes that you put on. So tell us about that website and how you got started.
Okay, well, my site is called, like my life, it's called mybigfatcubanfamily.com. And that's where I tell stories about, you know, being Cuban. And I tell about what I do and about the things that I love, and the things that I love have a lot to do with what we're eating that night. So I write about Cuban food. I develop recipes. I write about what it's like to be Cuban in Southern California at different times of the year. And I do a lot of work for Disney, too. I get to go on these wonderful promotional trips and things. So I write about Disney a lot too on my site. It's called My Big Fat Cuban Family. And it's also, you can find me on Facebook also, where I overshare everything that I'm doing.
Wonderful. And we have a link to your website on the show information in case anybody doesn't have a chance to write it down. You can just click on it and go to the website. And of course, and Facebook as well. You know, while you ladies were talking about your stories, it occurred to me a question that I never asked you before, but I wanted to ask you now, if you could both take a few minutes and answer this. Both of you have mothers, you were both born in Cuba, of course, but you both have very different mothers, different backgrounds, I mean. Sonia, your mother was born in Georgia or south of the United States,
Atlanta.
So obviously her cooking...
Atlanta.
So her cooking experience is obviously different than your mother Marta, who was born in Cuba. So just briefly tell us how your mother's influenced your cooking or your love for cooking, Sonia.
Well, one thing that I noticed now in retrospect was that we ate more vegetables than a lot of my friends did. I think you know that a lot of Cubans, you know, meat, potatoes, maybe carrots once in a while, tomatoes and lettuce and cucumbers and avocado, and that was about, you know, maybe okra once in a while, but vegetables were not very important in the meal of families that I knew. But my mother instilled the love of vegetables in us, and even though, as you know, back in Cuba, you did not have to be rich to have a cook. We did have a Cuban cook who cooked delicious Cuban food, but every once in a while, my mother would get in the kitchen and she would prepare dishes her way. And my Cuban grandmother lived with us, and we had to have certain, there was a protocol to dinners. And there had to be a dish that, at least one dish for every person there that was their favorite dish for special dinners or something like that. So it wasn't unusual to have 10, 12 dishes on the table for just a regular meal. And there were seven of us, seven or eight of us at the table.
Wow, that is a lot of. Now, was that your grandmother's idea, Sonia? Was that your grandmother's idea?
My Cuban grandmother, Even though it was my mother's house, my Cuban grandmother was still the matriarch, you know, so you know how that works.
I think we all do. My Cuban grandmother
had to have soup at the table every single day, and it could be plantains. Or, you know, it could be chicken soup, it could be plantain soup, it could be whatever. But we had to have either soup or potaje every single day.
Oh, potaje.
Yeah.
Well, that was a wonderful thing. Yes, potaje. What a wonderful word. That makes me hungry just thinking of potaje and what we used to eat. Well, Marta, you have a beautiful mother who is, I believe, 102. And still going very well. And how did she influence your love for cooking?
Well, I'll tell you, in Cuba, you know, I was very small. Like Sonia said, like pretty much every family that we knew had a cook in the house, and we did too. But we obviously had to leave the country in the 1961 is when my family left. And so my mom had to start cooking again. And there was something always so comforting, Silvia, having, you know, being the exiled family. And you probably can relate to this. Is the one thing that you can keep from the place that you came from is the comforts of your home, and in this case, the food. So my mom would, you know, cook all of our favorites. She tried. She did try at first to make, you know, quote unquote American dishes. And then, I think my dad put his foot down and he said, no, if it's Monday, it's picadillo. So she pulled out her Cocina al Minuto, which is the cookbook written by Nitza Villapol, who, was our Cuban Rachel Ray. And she, you know, my mom kind of learned how to cook from there, I think. And at a very early age, she groomed us. You know, my family, I'm the youngest of six. I've got four older sisters, and I have a brother who lives close to you, Silvio. And my mom, you know, groomed us to be good Cuban wives. And I was eight when I started making food for my entire family. Like, no, you're going to learn how to make a meal. And so that's, I think, where my love of Cuban food, it was just that was home. That just symbolized home to me.
Yes, no, I think that those are great stories, and it occurred to me that I had not asked you this before, but when Sonia mentioned about her mom being born in the United States, it occurred to me to ask you, you know, you two ladies, you both ended up cooking Cuban food, but you had different different origins, if you will, different influences.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we love to do with when we visit with you is hear a recipe or something you're planning to cook or something that you want to share with the audience. I know you're into tomatoes these days, Sonia, so if you want to talk about tomatoes.
I'm giving it a rest for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. No, but I would love to hear something about tomatoes. I'm a big fan of tomatoes, except tomato juice, that I always associate with giving blood, and I never quite got into it. but definitely... let's go with Sonia first. Christmas time, the kitchen. What kinds of things do you like to do, Sonia?
Well, normally because of my blog and of all the articles that I write, and for the audience for whom I write, I don't always stress Cuban food during the holidays. Once in a while, I will inject something in there, but I would experiment with other recipes, not necessarily a typical American menu either, but I like to play with recipes, so I would come up with different ideas. But this year, it's just my son and myself, and I'm getting a small little 4-pound pork shoulder, and I am going to make a homemade version of a lechon asado. And I'm going to be doing the typical rice, black beans, the yuca and mojo. And my sister sent me a care package from Miami, and there's some turrones in there and guava paste and all kinds of galleticas de María and all kinds of things. So I'm going to be playing with the dessert. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do yet, but it'll be something playing with those items. And going more to my roots, I guess, this year.
Yes. Well, let me ask you a question, because you've had my interest since you brought up tomatoes, because I happen to like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother in Cuba, and still she still does this. Well, she hasn't cooked much since my father died, but I mean, for years when we used to go to their home on Sundays to eat, she would cook whatever she would cook, but she would always have tomatoes. And one of her favorite, and one of my favorites, and I would love it, was when she would make, you know, slice the tomatoes and have avocado, and she would put this, like, I guess it was some kind of vinegar connection and so on. I'm not sure if that was a Cuban dish, but it's certainly one that I love, and with tomatoes. Is that something you've done with tomatoes and avocados?
Tomatoes and avocados and sliced onions. Typical, I think. I remember having that as a child. So, and even a couple of times at the La Carreta in Miami, they would serve you avocado and tomato and onions. So, I had never really thought about it, but I think it's pretty typical, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we used to eat a lot. It was one of my favorite things whenever we went to my parents' home to eat. We used to go there every Sunday to eat. Now, of course, since my father died, we don't do it as much because my mom doesn't cook as much. But that was almost like every Sunday. And I used to love, you know, just the way she would slice the tomato. Not so much the tomato, but what she would put on, some kind of a vinegar combination.
Just a vinaigrette, simple vinaigrette will do it.
Okay, yeah,
it doesn't have
absolutely
to be a
good
heavy dressing or anything like that.
Yeah, and
I was
going to
say
go ahead, Sonia.
No, I was going to say something. Since you like tomatoes, one of the last recipes I'm testing again is a tomato fondue. So we'll see how that turns out. My first try did not turn out too good, but I'm tweaking the recipe, and I'm doing it again, and I think this time I'm going to get it right.
Oh, right.
I had never imagined doing a tomato fondue, and all of a sudden one day I thought, why not? So there we go.
Give it a try.
So is that what you would call the dish, tomato fondue?
Well, it's like a party dish that you dip hunks of bread in to eat. You know, like the Swiss fondue, but instead of cheese, it's a tomato cheesy fondue.
Okay, wow. That's great.
In my
that's
mind,
absolutely fabulous.
Well, in my mind, it tastes real good. So.
Oh, I bet. I bet it tastes real good for real, too. You know, not just in your mind, but I think most of your guests are going to tell you that it tastes absolutely great. Now, what do you normally drink in your Cuban meal? Like this year, you're going to go back to your roots. Well, what do you think you'll be drinking?
Well, probably I don't particularly drink red wines much because they give me a headache, except for a Merlot. And I know that's not Cuban, but Merlot goes well with lechon and so on, so that's what I'm going to have. And I don't have access to sidra here, and I know it doesn't give it a kick, but the Martinelli will kind of, you know. you can pretend you're drinking sidra when you're drinking Martinelli. So,
let me ask you one more question, Sonia, about Christmas in Cuba that you remember in Cienfuegos and other, you know, other Christmases that you spent there. Did Cubans used to drink a lot of wine with their Nochebuena meal?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And mostly the Rioja wines. Those, at least in my family, those were typical.
Sure.
And sidra, el gaitero. And that was the brand that they used to buy all the time. Sidra El Gaitero and the Rioja wines.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Well, you should be hungry out there as you're listening to all of this, but it's going to get even bigger. This plate, this table is going to get even bigger. Marta is on deck with her ideas, and this is going to get a lot better. But we're going to take a little break. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll go to Marta for her Christmas dish.
The Canto Group is a recruiting firm located in Dallas, Texas, that specializes in the placement of executives and engineering professionals with companies throughout Texas. If your company is seeking quality candidates in the fields of general managers, plant managers, sales, CFOs or controllers with a manufacturing background, production manager supervisors, engineering specializing in mechanical, manufacturing, industrial, electrical, safety, or quality engineers or designer drafters, feel free to contact our team regarding your company's future or current openings. Contact Silvio Canto Jr., email thecantogroup@aol.com, or visit our website, thecantogroup.com.
Before we get back to our ladies, Sonia and Marta, I just wanted to direct you to a couple of links on the show information. The first one you see, it says residential electricity rates. If you're in the market for electricity, everybody is at some point because your contract expires and you're shopping around your electricity, just click on that, put your zip code, and you'll be able to get some quotes. Maybe we can save you some money on your residential electricity rates. And the other link that we have on the show information is for audible.com. This is a great service where you listen to books. We're not telling you to stop reading. Of course, reading is a wonderful habit and one that you should develop as much as possible. But every once in a while, you don't have time to read every book you want to read. So listening to a book becomes a wonderful alternative. So check out my friends at audible.com. They have tremendous inventory and they have tremendous promotions. They make it very easy for you to download a book. So check out my friends at audible.com. Let's get back to Marta and Sonia. Well, Marta, I think Sonia has a pretty good side of the table set up there with a lot of tomatoes, I see, that we're going to be eating. Now it's your turn. What are you putting on your table there, Marta?
Well, let me tell you, this is the best time of the year to be Cuban, right? This is the best time of the year. We know how to do Christmas. And of course, we celebrate, as you know, Nochebuena, Christmas Eve. So our big party is the 24th. My family, you know, we all get together, all the extended families, you know, and friends, whoever wants to come. So sometimes, you know, when my younger nieces and nephews, they're dating and all that, people are very curious to see what the Cubans do on Christmas Eve, you know, because it just can become legendary. But my family, our menu, of course, just like Sonia's, the lechon, which is the roasted pig, and, you know, the black beans and the white rice and the yuca and the plantains. And of course, you know, the turrones are there somewhere on the table. But I've got to give a shout out to one of my favorite things to do this time of year, and that's to make crema de vi, which is a Cuban eggnog. And it's a super simple recipe. It's on my blog if you want to go look for it. But it's not eggnog like you've ever had before. We make it, it's very sweet. We have sweetened condensed milk in it and, of course, rum, because that acts as the preservative. And it's just a wonderful thing. So all my other kids are out of the house already, so I still have my youngest. He'll be 21 in another week. And he said, I want to learn how to do this. So we made a dozen bottles of crema de vi. And that's what we give away to our friends and our neighbors instead of cookies. we just give them the creme de vie. And this year, which, of course, I know you've talked about this on your show, of course, Silvio, is that this is the first year in so many years that we can toast to a free Cuba because Fidel Castro is dead. And you know, I have so much to say about that, but I'm not going to. I'm going to talk about my creme de vie, and it's lovely with the sugar and eggs and real vanilla, and it's just fantastic. And anyone who tastes it, they always say, "Well, I don't like eggnog," and I'll say, "Would you please taste this?" And then you know, it becomes their favorite thing, and they tell friends, and they tell friends. So. I'm very excited that this year we'll get to do that toast, you know, like el año que viene en La Habana. Right?
Well, I think this year we're closer to,
right?
Yeah. No, but I think this year we are closer to that than we've been in quite some time. I'm not saying I don't want to get political, but I'm not saying it's necessarily next year, but we are closer now, I think, than we've been for quite some time, as you know, when I call my mother, just a quick story I wanted to tell you guys. Of course, my dad's not here. So when I heard about Fidel Castro's death, my first thought was my father, who had died almost a year before.
Yes.
And because we used to talk a lot about this, you know, my father and I used to talk a lot about this day, and we talked
uh-huh.
about a future Cuba. So obviously, you know, I obviously couldn't talk to him, but I called my mom, and she had heard about it, and her reaction was, I think, very typical Cuban mother. She said, "Oh, todavía falta uno," saying that we still had one more.
That was my, you know, I guess I'm the same tune with her in the age group, because that was my first thought also. We still have one.
That's right. That was
still
her
have another. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my mother said, yeah, todavía falta uno. So that was, I had to laugh at that. But they were the first two people that I really thought about when I heard about Fidel Castro's death, Marta and Sonia. They were the first two people that I thought about, you know. And it wasn't so much political as it was, because those are the two people, of course, who made the sacrifice to leave and come
right.
here. Marta, I didn't
of
mean to
course.
Interrupt your table setting there. Phil, go back to your table setting.
Oh, no, that's, I just, I'm so focused this year on making, you know, we just finished, you know, the last batch of the creme de vie that, and we're so looking forward to doing the toast. Sonia, I have to throw this in, that I make a mean Cuban bruschetta. I make it with a little bit of that vinaigrette that you were talking about. So it
uh-huh,
has,
uh-huh.
and with some cumin in it, it gives it a little Cuban flavor. Talk about tomatoes. So you distracted
me. Oh, wow. Well, so, like the Catalans do the tomatada thing, I can imagine that vinaigrette with the cumin in on the bread first before you put the chopped tomato relish on it.
There
now
you
my,
go.
My taste buds are just jumping all over the place right now.
Yes. Yes.
And I wanted to tell you, by the way, I haven't made the creme de vie in years, but when I saw it on your blog about 2, 3, 4 years ago, I was tempted to start. But a friend and I, what we did this year was limoncello. And made the cream style limoncello, and you're gonna have to try that someday. It's not Cuban, and it's more Italian than anything else. But I have to tell you, Marta, you would love it. You would absolutely love it.
I would. That sounds fantastic. So I can't add anything else to that.
Okay. No, I think we've got a pretty full table here, guys. But I wanted to say. Yeah, but I wanted to ask Marta a question. When you were explaining how your extended family likes to you know find out what the Cubans do for Christmas, my guess is that they're all pretty happy with what they find out, right? I mean that they always want to go to your home for Christmas, right? Every year.
That's exactly right because you know. I will not disparage turkey. I love turkey, but you know, sometimes in many homes, the you know, Thanksgiving is just a warm up for the Christmas dinner. That's exactly the same. And you know, for us Cubans, that we make the pig and the black beans and the sweet maduros, the plantains. You know, there's just nothing like it. And then on Christmas Day, I usually make a dinner also. We never celebrated Christmas Day too much when I was growing up. We waited and you know, Los Reyes, the 6th of January. But on Christmas Day now, I make a dinner for my immediate family and my in-laws. And it's usually a nice arroz con pollo because I'm still very nostalgic about my food during the holidays. And nobody complains about that.
Right. No, I don't. Why do I think I need to spend a Christmas holiday in Southern California? Not too far from
you.
You
know
me,
what? My door is open and you're always welcome.
Yes, I say that every year, but one of these years I'm gonna make it come true because I'll go to Hawaii as well and have some tomatoes with you, Sonia. But let me ask you ladies a question for just for you to consider this. Obviously, just from listening to you, and we've done this several years, you really enjoy Cuban food, making Cuban food. And what is it about Cuban food that is so special, Sonia? I mean, you've talked about the history of Cuban food. Why is it so special to you?
I don't know, because when you really think about it, Cuban food is not fancy. It's a home-style type food. It's a food that draws families together. It's more earthy. There's nothing hot cuisine about Cuban food if you come right down to it, but it's warm. It just a lot of people confuse. I get this question all the time: is Cuban food hot? And they're surprised when I tell them that very, very few dishes that the Cubans eat are hot. As in peppery
spicy,
hot spicy hot. Thank you, Marta. Cuban food is tasty, and we use spices, but we don't use the hotness of the pepper as much. We use more the sweet peppers, the cachuchas, the bell peppers, and it gives it its own little flavor, its own little sweetness. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to pinpoint what I love so much about Cuban food, except that it's comfort food for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a wonderful answer.
It takes me home.
That's a wonderful answer. Marta, what does it mean to you? Why do you enjoy cooking? You know, aside from nationalistic reasons and so on, the kind of thing that really will test your creativity, originality?
Yes and no. I think there's an alchemy to it because you're taking, you know, like we've talked about so many times, the glories of sofrito, where you take garlic and onion and a bell.
I think I lost someone. I think I just lost.
We lost
Marta there. Yeah, we just lost Marta for a second. Hopefully, we'll get her. We'll get her back on here in a second. Sonia, while we get Marta back on, you were talking about that it takes you home, and that's really, I think, and I say this with all due respect, as you get older, that becomes more important, doesn't it? To have food that takes you home, doesn't it? Because you want to, you know, because I'm sure the food not just takes you home in the sense that it takes you back to your mom, your grandmother, like you were saying, and your brother. In that sense, it really takes you home, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It reinforces family.
Right.
If that makes sense. It's what I knew, you know, growing up. And
right.
as anything that is, sometimes we kind of not appreciate the things that we grow up with. We take it for granted. But
right.
as you grow older, you appreciate your roots more. And
that's right.
As I say, my roots are kind of divided or mixed. But it's
mm-hmm.
really funny because in one way I'm 100% Cuban and in another way I'm 100% American, you know.
That's right.
And it's very hard to pinpoint who am I. But when it comes
right.
to food, Cuban food calls me.
That's right. Well, let's see if we can get Marta on the phone right now. We're gonna try that. Let's see if we can get her on the phone right now.
Hello.
Marta. We lost you.
We lost you.
My call dropped off. What happened?
I'm sorry that happened, but we got you back on. That's the important part. I was just, while we were trying to connect with you, Marta, we were talking about the idea that Cuban food takes you back to your roots. And I know in my case, for example, Cuban food, that's what I always wanted my mother to make on Sundays. I didn't want spaghetti.
Yeah.
I didn't want meatballs. Well, I won't, I guess. But I mean, I didn't want. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't want to go. I mean, it's like every time I walked into the house on Sunday afternoon, I think my mother instinctively knew this, that we wanted Cuban food. And that's because we associated Cuban food with them. So for me, it was really special to eat it. I never made it like you ladies do, or my mom did, or so on. But, I mean, that's what I think it means for us, is that it takes you back to your roots, like Sonia was saying, Marta.
Yes, and I was in mid-thought about that there's something so special about, you know, eating the food of your childhood. That's your first love is home and family, at least for me, that's true. And, you know, we lost so much, Silvio, when we left Cuba that, you know, people don't always know that Cubans didn't want to leave for the most part. We were kind of forced out by, you know, communism coming into the country. So we had a lot of nostalgia towards our Cuban home and so many wonderful things. And it's the food that we could revisit that with, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's a wonderful point. That's a wonderful point that you're making, Marta, because once we all got here, and we got settled, and our parents found work. You know, our moms could go to the store and at least buy the ingredients, or most of them, to make something like Cuban food. Maybe they couldn't find some things, I understand that. But, for example, the pork, that was something that my mom was able to figure out. My mom and dad figured out where to get it, so they made it. Maybe not, we didn't cook it outside as was more traditional, but nevertheless, the smell of pork at Nochebuena, or the black beans and all of that was on our table. And I think especially more for my parents than for us, for them, just being able to eat that had to be a moment of great satisfaction.
Well, let me give you a little secret, a little tip here. That's one of my little secrets. If you want your pork, your stove-made roast pork or oven-made, to taste a little bit more like the one you cook down in the ground, underground ovens and all that, wrap it in banana leaves.
Ooh.
Wrap your pork in banana leaves when you're cooking it. And believe it or not, the taste of the leaves will go into the meat. And to me, it tastes just like it just came out of an underground oven.
Wow.
Try it.
I didn't know that. We're going to have to try that, but if we get the fire trucks that come out, I'll blame it on you, Sonia. Okay. I'll just say, well, that lady in Hawaii told me to do this, okay? So I...
just wrap it in the leaves. It won't burn.
That's right. Well, ladies, we're just about out of time. And anything else that you wanted to add? We'll go with you, Marta.
I just want to say that, again, I love so much being Cuban at this time of year, because every little bit of our traditions, they feel so rich to me. It's not, we just don't go through the motions. We really, just savor our food and our time with the family. And Sonia, we do get sidra here, which is, it's like a hard cider, but it's not sparkling. And we, serve that. There's just so much that I love about being Cuban at Christmas time, and including, our Christmas music you can dance to. So
we
celebrate anything. So
that's right.
Anyway, so I just thank you for having us on the show tonight, Silvio, and Merry Christmas to you and to your family too, Sonia.
Thank you so much, Marta.
And you too, Marta. Felicidades.
Yes,
thank
and
you so
Sonia
much.
And Marta, I was going to tell you that when we first came to the United States, we went through the same thing. We found our roots in the food. But, learning Christmas carols was always sort of interesting, because I used to tell my friends, we used to get the guys who brought us our gifts used to come in camels. They didn't come in reindeer. They came
and there were
they
three
came
of
with
them.
And there were three of them, so that's right. So
they could
you
carry
could always,
more.
That's right. You
and
kind
we
of
put shoes
your,
out instead of stockings.
That's right. That's
put
right.
The shoes under the bed instead of stockings on the mantle.
Well, and as I told a teacher of mine when we first arrived, she was explaining Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and explaining why he had a shiny nose so that Santa could see the in the storm, and I said, that's a problem the Reyes Magos did not have, because there were no storms. there were no storms, so they didn't need a camel with a shiny nose. They didn't need that to find our home. Well, I wish both of you a Feliz Navidad, a wonderful time with your families, and enjoy your food and enjoy it. And as always, this is one of my favorite shows, because we get to have a lot of fun, and we get to do it the Cuban way. So thank you so much for both of you for being with me tonight. Sonia, thank you and best wishes.
Thank you.
And Marta,
you too.
Thank you and best wishes.
Thank you so much.
All right. Feliz Navidad. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. This is, I believe, the third year that we've done one of these Christmas food shows. Maybe four, but for sure three. And I just I enjoy them a great deal. They're absolutely wonderful. These two ladies are just absolutely, they're full of, I mean, I love them because they're full of enthusiasm, great humor, just wonderful stories. They both represent a very interesting part of Cuba. Of course, Sonia had an American mother, so she had a little variety in her cooking and growing up, whereas I think Marta is more like me. She had Cuban parents and grew up in the United States, and I just think it's absolutely wonderful, and I hope all of you get their books. We have a link to From Soup to Nuts, the book by Sonia. We have that link on the show information, and of course, you have to follow Marta's blog. I mean, it's that's a must. I mean, that is something you have to do. It is just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful blog that she's put together. She's got recipes, she's got stories, and she's got pictures of her beautiful mom in there too that you're going to love a great deal. Well, good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening, and I hope you cook a little Cuban food this Noche Buena. Good night, everybody.